Welcome to episode lucky number 7 of the podcast of In the Wheelhouse. Today we got the defensive liability myself back from Vegas, which I watched my Sens absolutely get their stuff kicked in by Vegas. And I don't know what they're saying. Like Ottawa said, they played a great game, but they didn't even get a shot in the third period. Pretty terrible.
Did they have 50 shots against?
Yeah, it's awful.
Well, that sounds like a great game.
Yeah. Perfect. Honestly, if I have to tell this with everyone, if you haven't seen a game in Vegas, make it a priority. It is an unreal atmosphere because we all went for a hockey tournament one year, and I know that the Sniper has a bedtime of 8 o'clock Eastern time, so that was way past
it. It was a little bit past it. It was about 2 a.m.
But the aging veteran made it.
He made it all night.
That's right.
It was good.
He had his floral shirt on, ready to live it up in Vegas.
Yeah.
But yeah, so obviously you can tell I'm joined by the Sniper and the aging veterans. How's it going today, boys?
It's good.
Good. It's been a while. Happy to be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. But we're back. We're better than ever. And we got Jake, our number one fan, just sitting here watching us film the podcast. He probably can't talk, but that's okay. All right, so let's get to a few topics, news and notes around the NHL. So this coming in fresh and hot take for today. The LA Kings have fired their head coach and their assistant head coach, and Willie Desjardins will be taking over in the meantime as an interim head coach. Veteran, what do you think of this firing?
Well, that's not a huge surprise. They've been underperforming pretty badly so far this year. It's quick, though, 13 games into the season, and they've already fired him. And I think they brought in Marco Sturm as well to be part of the new coaching staff.
Yeah, their goalie isn't too quick right now either.
Yeah, that is true.
Because he's... Yeah, thank you. He doesn't have a win under his belt yet. Then again, he's been injured for most of it. So Jack Campbell, who should have panned out, didn't pan out, has been taking the reins, and he's...
How's his stats been?
He's 4-5 with a goals against average of 2.67, so it's not too bad. Save for percentage of 9.12.
Well, I guess that's just slightly below the average.
With one shutout. He got a shutout. Okay. That's impressive.
I think it was his first game he got a shutout in. So.
But just some notes on LA. Dion Phaneuf, minus 10, the human pylon himself. Dustin Brown has been hurt a lot. He's only played, I think, 3 games this year. But let's just go to like the top 2 main people that we should be talking about. Ilya Kovalchuk, 4 goals, 11 assists for minus 7. 6 of those points coming on the power play, which they did bring him in for that.
Yeah.
And Drew Doughty, 1 goal, 9 assists, minus 5. Once again, most of his points coming on the power play. So
he's starting to pick it up a little bit, though. The last few games, he's been better.
Yeah. I'm going to circle back to this with Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson and Drew Doughty does not have a good start to the season.
No, neither of them. But I don't. Whenever Drew Doughty has a minus stat, I don't look into it too much because Doughty plays over half the game.
Yeah.
So he plays the tough minutes. He plays everything that's tough. So if he's out there for a goal against us,
it's going to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
And if the rest of the team's underperforming, yeah, that stat's going to look bad.
Yeah, exactly, because Kopitar only has 6 points. Tyler Toffoli, who has 7 points. Their whole team's a big dash in front of everything.
If I'm looking at anyone that's underperforming and hurting the team right now, it's Kopitar. He had a big rejuvenation season last year with 93 points, and if he's playing terrible this year with having brought in Kovalchuk to be his wingman, it's not looking too good. And with Brown hurt, I think firing the coach is kind of odd right now with Brown being out and Quick being out. That's kind of...
Yeah.
Those are 2 big players that definitely help your team if they're there.
He doesn't have a really good decor to work with LA. Like, if you have Phaneuf as one of your better defensemen, then Drew Doughty is just running around playing Rover. It didn't happen for Ottawa. It's not going to happen for...
No.
But
for at the price that Phaneuf's being paid in LA, I don't mind him being there. I think he's still a $5 or $4 million defenseman. Is that what he's making there? How much did Ottawa retain?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I believe it's around $4 or $5 million. Mm.
So I don't think he's terrible, but for what he's playing right now, I think it's bad.
But like Rob Blake said that the coach pretty much more or less had lost the room there, and that he couldn't motivate the players to give any kind of level of compete. So that alone, as soon as you lose the players, whether they have like an underperforming D or not, you can't really stay anymore, because when you've lost the room, that they're not going to respect you, they're not going to play, you're not going to get any kind of compete or passion.
Seems to happen a lot for that team. So what was their coach 2 years ago that they won a couple cups with?
Sutter?
Yeah. He just randomly all of a sudden, I guess he was trying to teach the old style, but just all of a sudden they were locking him out of the dressing room.
So is that actually what happened? I thought he more or less just kind of stepped down and then like he...
No, they fired him.
Oh, they fired him.
They fired him.
Okay.
And yeah, they had, one of their last games, the team literally locked him out of the locker room.
No.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was either during a game or after a practice, but they locked him out. They didn't want to hear him.
Yeah. All right. That's a little ridiculous, but let's move on. Speaking of goaltending and stuff, Nashville has locked up Pekka Rinne to a 5x2. So
yeah, 2 years, $5 million.
$5 million for over 2 years. What do you guys think of this signing versus the Carey Price deal going on right now?
Well, it didn't sound like Jake liked it too much. Gave out a bit of a growl there.
Yeah.
I think that's a great signing for Nashville. He still has a lot of hockey left in him, and at $5 million, that's a fantastic price for like a Vezina winner.
Yeah, he's coming off a Vezina season. He's doing good already, so signing him for 2 more years is a no-brainer to me. The only thing that could be an issue is if they keep feeding him games and don't give it to UC Saros, who is their future.
Yeah.
That could affect his development a little bit. And but if they start doing a 50-50 split just to give Saros some more and more before he's ready to take the whole thing, that could be a good thing.
And Pekka Rinne, though, I would say the main issue with Pekka Rinne is he's a notorious playoff joker. Like
Only in Pittsburgh. He blows it in Pittsburgh.
He's had a couple of games like throughout his playoff career where you're just like, what is this guy doing? How do these guys even make it to?
You think he gets run down? He's a little tired come that time?
I don't know if the teams just solve him or it's just too many holes. I'm not sure what happens to him in the playoffs, but he does tend to bounce back. But some games, you just got to wonder, like, what's going through this guy's head? He can't stop a beach ball.
Some guys just can't do it mentally. It's like, look at Bobrovsky. He can have amazing stats all year long, and come playoff time, just it's like he's not even in the net.
Sergei Bobrovsky. Okay, let's move on to one of all our favorite players of the NHL, Brad Marchand. What do you guys think of that little dive he did there?
I thought it was ridiculous.
Was it funny though?
Oh, it was hilarious.
Ish, maybe, kind of.
You're a Montreal fan. Come on.
That aside, impartial on the podcast here.
Okay.
I think he would have hit his nose on the way down as hard as he dropped. But
it's possible.
I'm just surprised he didn't get up and start trying to lick him. Just, yeah.
He might have tried.
Yeah, so he got 14 minutes of penalties on that. He got a 10-minute misconduct, 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike, and a 2-minute high-sticking call. That was obviously not a high-sticking call. But Brad Marchand's notorious for diving. Like, He has a rep of... I think it's like Austin Matthews that pushed him and he flew back 30 feet.
Oh yeah. He's acting like it's so outrageous that happened, but he's definitely guilty of doing it himself as well. Yeah,
he does it all the time. And it happens all the time. Just someone gets a stick close and they throw their head back. Every team does it. So it's not like it just happens once in a while.
This was pretty bad when you slow it down and watch it. But from the ref's perspective, it's tough. It happens so fast. The head goes back and his stick was up.
Exactly.
So
they see a stick like near his face. The guy's throwing his head back. It's getting a call 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is this what the league is kind of coming to, since there's a lot less fighting, the hitting's a lot more down?
Oh, guaranteed. It's more like European style now, I find. It's less bump and grind, more just speed, and don't touch the player. Don't not allowed to touch him.
Do you really think that this is something that represents the league, or this is something that represents Brad Marchand?
Oh, 100%
Brad Marchand. Yeah, it's Brad Marchand. Yeah. No one else is going to put on that kind of theatrical display. It's just him. Well, and it's I fully agree with giving him the 2 and the 10.
So yeah, I don't agree with the 10. I'd give him maybe an extra 2 minutes, and I don't know what you'd call it for, but giving someone 10 minutes for dropping to their knees, I just find that a little much.
Did the National Bear get fined for the dive or an embellishment,
no.
I should say?
No.
No.
Didn't get a penalty.
So. No.
I don't think you can get fined for an embellishment,
can you? Oh yeah, you can get PK Subban.
PK Subban.
PK Subban. He learned his lesson early.
Yeah. I think if it was someone else other than Brad Marchand, it would have maybe just been a 2, but because it's him, he got the 10 as well. And he kept chirping. He didn't shut up afterwards.
Okay. Then that makes a difference. I didn't watch the whole video of him going to the box, so if he kept going, then it makes total sense.
The whole way in, chirping. Okay.
All right. So on that note, let's move to the best of the week. Okay. So we'll start off with the first one is we're going to split in two, but it goes to Arizona and New York Islanders. So Arizona, like 3 podcasts ago, was actually part of the worst of the week.
They were, yeah. We were ridiculing them pretty much.
Exactly. And now they're part of the best of the week. Currently, New York and Arizona are both on a 5-game win streak. Arizona is doing the better of the two, where their goals against average is only 2, which is impressive. They're leading the league.
Well, if you look at Arizona's defense, from top to bottom, they actually have great defensemen. It's just over the years, they've just kind of... I don't know if they haven't scored enough or if they've just let too many in, but they got everything going for them this year.
Yeah, it's far cry from what I had actually expected, especially given the start that they had.
Yeah, and they got one of the best players in the league in Galchenyuk. So
hey, he's looking all right. He's looking all right. Well, but you know what? That trade, I mean, Max Domi, 7 goals already this year. He's been one of the brightest spots on the Habs team.
The only spot, except for Carey Price's 5-hole.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was terrible. But yeah, no, their rookies are finally coming around. Clayton Keller is finally showing like he's a top prospect in the league or top end talent in the league. Does he still have some developing to do? Yes.
Oh, guaranteed. He's great offensively. He's not the best 2-way yet, but that'll come.
He has hands like Patrick Kane. He has great hands. They're a fast moving team. And let's move to the New York Islanders. Who, let's be honest, I think they're the surprise of the league right now. They're the Vegas Golden Knights of 2018-2019 season.
Well, I don't know. You don't think everyone predicted they'd be top of the Metro right now? I mean, like...
Oh, I certainly thought
they were going to win. Yeah, I thought they were going to win.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, John Tavares, he's a cancer in the locker room. Exactly. There's a reason why they did so poorly. Is because he's bad for the community. But yeah, what do you guys think of the New York Islanders just coming out of nowhere?
They're doing it quietly. They don't have any players that are just... ripping up the league right now. I don't think I've seen a single Islanders highlight. They're slowly, quietly getting their wins, and
yeah, nobody's really talking about them too much.
It's that Barry Trotz system that won a Stanley Cup last year.
That's true, and like you are right, they have been flying under the radar because how many people think they're going to New York and like it's just the Islanders. They don't have John Tavares. We'll just take our foot off the gas and we'll have a good game. Then boom.
Here come the Islanders.
Here come the Islanders. Speaking of which, where's Washington right now?
They're currently sitting in, I think, 3 spots out of a wild card spot. They're having a rough time right now. They're letting in some late goals. Goaltending's been a bit of an issue. Score.
Oh, it's had a little foreshadowing for coming up.
They've had their top 2 lines are scoring, but it's just they're not keeping the puck out.
Yeah, but okay, number 2. And I think everyone would agree with this in the best of the week. Ever since coming off his WWE SmackDown versus Raw throwdown, Elias Pettersson, who is just absolutely showing his talent right now, how good this guy is going to be. Probably going to win the Calder this year.
I don't even think it's a question anymore. Is there anyone that's keeping up with him in the scoring at all?
No,
I think he's dominating the entire thing. Above.
Even while he was injured, he was still leading.
Exactly, yeah. And I think the only one that was up with him at the moment was the defenseman from Ottawa, the Lejambi?
Lejoie.
But
en français.
But other than that, there's no one keeping up with him.
Aren't you dating a girl that's French?
Yeah, I'm not.
Lejoie?
Yeah, well, I'll ask her opinion on it after. But the only one that I thought was going to keep up with him this year was Casey Mittelstadt. Mittelstadt isn't doing anything.
Well, so Rasmus Dahlin's also completely off the map right now.
I didn't think he was going to be on it, though, because normally defensemen, when they come into the league, they don't light up the score sheet. And to win this award, you need to light up the score sheet, and that wasn't going to happen.
No, well, Pettersson, he had 2 goals and 3 assists last game, which just, you know, welcome back. It's crazy.
And one person who's starting to pick up their game, still has a long way to go, is Miro Heiskanen from Dallas. He's doing pretty well, but
If you like, watch him play, he looks like an experienced. He could be the next Drew Doughty. He just looks great.
Oh, there. he's going to be an outstanding defenseman. But let's just go back to the topic though. Elias Pettersson. Did you guys see that pass off the backboards to Brock Besner?
I didn't.
No. So to kind of set it up, they're playing Colorado. Besser or Brock, whatever his name is. Brock has a step.
Besser.
I know, I keep butchering it. Has a step on the Colorado defense. Pettersson decides to fire it from the blue line, off the backboards, bounces out front, and Besser rips it top right corner. But whoever, I think it's Varlamov or whoever's playing Colorado, it's kind of got caught in no man's land where he went to go poke check the puck. But he's just one hell of a player. Like, he's skill wise, hockey smart. He has that passing ability. Like,
now imagine when he puts on some size and can actually fight more in the corners. I think he's going to be.
It's going to be impressive.
He's going to be one of the next superstars.
Is he going to be like a Forsberg type player, would you say? Or is, no, I think no, Forsberg
gonna,
was too.
Be like
gritty.
A McDavid who?
No.
Going to pass him, take
no,
him out.
There's no way he's going to pass McDavid. I don't know. I think Forsberg and him is a terrible comparison now that I think about it. he's just like, he's Swedish. He might as well be Forsberg, I guess.
2.0, basically.
Yeah, he's a player you can keep up with right now. He's if he's going to be a point per game player, Forsberg's not quite a point per game guy, I don't think. He's more of a 70 point guy.
Yeah,
like Martin Erat.
Oh, I was talking about Peter Forsberg.
Oh, Peter Forsberg. Okay, you got to be more
Philip
specific
Forsberg
here.
Philip Forsberg would be like an okay comparison, but I think Pettersson's hockey IQ is a lot more off the charts.
They're a different style of player. I think Philip Forsberg is more of like a power forward guy.
Yeah,
and
it's
Pettersson's
yeah.
more of a.
It's not the only comparable we have is they're Swedish essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Swedish, and meatballs, and. The pride of the East Coast. Let's talk about the Colorado first line. They're the number three best of the week. They are just killing it. What's his name?
Rantanen. Mikko Rantanen.
Mikko Rantanen. Nate MacKinnon. Thank you. Appreciate that. Nate MacKinnon and Gabriel Landeskog are just tearing up the NHL right now. Vetchin, what do you think of this?
They're playing unbelievably. Like, Rantanen has 19 assists. He's got 24 points already on the season. And, like, if you look through their team as well, it's Rantanen, MacKinnon, and Landeskog, 24, 21, and 18.
Yeah.
And then it drops down. There's only two other players that are over 10 points. So, like, they're running the show there.
So, essentially, they are the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much.
If they make the playoffs going this way, it's going to be terrible for them. Because if they shut down that, if a team shuts down that first line, what else is going to happen?
Yeah, because Landeskog has 11 goals.
So
Nate MacKinnon has 11 goals. And Mikko Rantanen has 19 assists.
So Landeskog has 4 power play goals as well.
Yeah,
that line is just. I've never seen. That's probably the top line in the NHL right now. Well, last year it was the Bruins line, but.
Yeah.
I don't think anything competes with this right now.
No, and the thing is with Colorado is these guys are all young rookies too. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not young rookies, but
well, they have a bright future still.
Landeskog's, I think, only 24. He was a 2012 or 2013 draft.
He seems older because of being in the spotlight.
And he's been there since.
He's also captain when he was like 18.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Crazy.
But it's, they're hands down the fastest league, or not league.
Fastest team.
Fastest, no, I would say line in the league. Probably the most skill, with Nate MacKinnon especially. I know he had a couple rough years when he started in the league, but after that, he just took off like a rocket, essentially.
As soon as Duchesne was gone, he was, whoa.
Yeah.
But you do raise a good point in what happens when this top line gets shut down.
Well, you see it happen with Dallas whenever their top line gets shut down. Like, they have nothing left, and
yeah.
that's really what happens here. Mm-hmm. But that line, do you think they're going to have the ability to find a way to make it work, even in tighter games? Because
yeah,
it's still pretty freewheeling this time of the year.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do think they can. I think that Nate MacKinnon has the hockey sense and skills to be able to be that breakout player, and doesn't matter the situation. I think he has the skills, the smarts, the line, everything like that. So Nate MacKinnon will make people pay.
Oh, he's the complete package for sure.
I don't think it's going to be like these guys though, or how they are right now though. It's definitely going to drop down quite a bit. As soon as the teams get more structured and everything's playing a system, The goals or the goals per game is just going to drop.
Well, yeah, second half of the season tightens up exactly. Big time after the Christmas break. You go through and everyone plays tighter defensively.
No, that's exactly it. Okay, so that was the best of the week. Now onto the fun part, the worst of the week. I'm going to start this one off because it's my team, but I got to roll with this. We'll start off with Mike Condon, who is a terrible backup goalie right now. Who led in one of the worst goals in the NHL this season with who's the guy that shot it again?
Derek Stepan.
Yeah, from their own blue line.
That was awful.
He's channeling his inner Vesa Tuscola. Like he's had to do it.
Yeah, and we're also giving the worst of the week to Ottawa and also...
After beautiful Buffalo loss.
Getting shelled 9-1 or 9-2 or 3, whatever it was. 9-2. It doesn't matter what it was at this point because Ottawa just looked terrible. Guys, what's going on with Ottawa right now? What do you think the main issue with the Senators are?
There's no issue. This is what they were supposed to be this season. And this is what they will be this season.
Well, you're exactly right because they're part of a rebuild. Max Lajoie, if he went in a corner with, let's just say, Steven Stamkos or Callahan or someone, he would get out-muscled every time. Oh, every time. Spin out and keep the cycle alive. It's bound to happen. What I was surprised about is they actually sent Alex Formanton down, which Guy Boucher wasn't too happy about.
Oh, yeah, I saw that the reasoning he was sent down was because he wasn't touching the puck enough, but...
So from watching the Sens games, especially that Arizona game, he had tons and tons of chances. He has quote unquote Connor McDavid-esque speed. So
was that with and without the puck?
Yeah, that's right. But no, he got all these breakaways, all these chances, but I don't think he got a single shot on net. So what he's going down is to get that confidence, learn how to drive that net, how to bury that puck, because he is one of the fastest players in the league. He just has no finish right now, and I think this is what Ottawa's new plan is, because they've had the Curse Lazars get called up early, and they just turn out to...
Ruin them.
Yeah.
Well, then again, Curse Lazar was drafted to be a third-line player.
I don't know. I saw him play in minors, and his stick-handling ability, he looked like he was going to be great.
No, he was never, ever destined for the second line. If he was the second line, he's probably in a career year, but he would have been like a solid third line player. I don't even know if he's in the NHL right now.
He's still playing for Calgary.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's getting a regular shift or not, but...
Yeah, he's on the team still.
Yeah, he's there. He's under contract.
Yeah, so let's actually move on to one that is close to home for another person.
Well, before we do, Connan's, just to say, his save percentage is .800.
Yeah.
I know he's only played 2 games, but still, that is
some elite goaltending right there.
That is why he cleared waivers.
Yeah, he's not good. He, towards the end of last year, which was one of the main problems, he didn't even show up at all. Like, that's one of the reasons why Ottawa... faltered so much last year is because Mike Condon couldn't hold together after 2 years ago when they made this Stanley Cup run, where Mike Condon had to take the reign for Craig Anderson for a while. But Mike Condon's always going to be a backup goalie. I don't think he's starting material when he's in Montreal.
Well, that's what killed him. He was actually playing really well in Montreal, and then when Price went down, he completely crumbled. He couldn't handle the pressure of being a starter, which is fair. I mean, some guys can't.
Yeah,
it's too bad.
And with Ottawa right now, they don't want to be pulling up their Gustafson or whatever yet, because he needs playing time. He needs to develop skill.
He's in Binghamton right now, right?
I think he's in the ECHL.
Burlington? Is it Burlington or Binghamton?
Belleville.
Belleville? That was close.
No. You weren't even close.
Starts with a B. It's a
different country, actually. Yeah. Continue.
One thing, you were just talking about Ottawa and what's going on with them. Do you think it's possible that...
Critically low. You gotta stop downloading stuff here.
Yeah, what are you looking at here, Sniper?
Yeah, what's going on? What are you doing? Okay.
But do you think it's possible that the coach has lost the room? Because it has happened before, and this is kind of what it was like.
I just think that Ottawa's not that good of a team in terms of what they have available. Because, like I said to you, if Nick Paul and... I don't know, whatever rookie is running the team and showing that they're the best players, that's not right. You need the man strength players. the guys that can take that in the puck in the corner. And
watching Matt Duchene play, he's been
Matt Duchene's an exception. Like, Matt Duchene's Matt Duchene. He's
playing for a contract too.
Yeah.
Well, on another team.
Yeah, I was gonna say not with Ottawa.
He could stay, but just a note he's on Curtis Lazar. I just pulled it up actually while we're talking. He's currently in the AHL.
Oh.
9 games played, 6 points. Or yeah, 6 points.
Okay.
Terrible. It's where he should have been for his first 5 years.
Yeah, because like even when he was at the Binghamton Senators, back before Ottawa called him up, because he had mono, so he had to start off in Binghamton. He had 13 games played and only 4 points, and then we called him up for 33 games and he only got 1 point.
That's superstar. Superstar caliber.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to the next topic. Speaking of shoddy goaltending, we'll go to Sniper for this one.
So Braden Holtby, second worst of the week. It's been rough to watch him play. He's making big saves, but letting in weak ones. Like the other day, he was playing against Montreal and let in a little squeaker for Max Domi to lose the game. He's currently at a 3.62 goals against average and a .888 save percentage. So he had a rough year last year. And he lost the reins to Philip Grubauer for the end of the season and lost it starting the playoffs too. He took it over, so everyone thought he was gonna come back in rejuvenated, but let's just hope he's still kind of hung over from the off season.
Yeah, that Domi goal was bad. It was right terrible. Into his glove.
So who's their backup right now?
Right now it is.
The Cavs fan is.
Oh boy! Oh no.
I'm gonna have to look this up. Give me a minute. I do know his name.
Copley.
Phoenix Copley.
How did I know this? And you're quote unquote a diehard Caps fan.
Because who cares about Phoenix Copley? I've got Samsonov in the minors. That's the only goalie I worry about. That's not Holtby.
And you need Yerbeck back.
That's true. Without Yerbeck, this team's just not a winner.
So, see what happens.
Yeah.
So do you think that Washington's struggles has to do with Holtby? Or is it just a team in general kind of post-cup hangover about
right now? I think it's goaltending. Like their players are producing. Ovechkin's got 10 goals. Kuznetsov's got 17 points. Backstrom on the second line has 15 points. Carlson, after getting his big contract, has 14 points in 12 games. So every guy is producing from top line to bottom line. It's just the goaltending. And if you watch the games,
I don't. I just want to clarify.
Well, you should, because it's a good team.
They're very exciting. I will give them that.
Exactly. But the goals that go in, most of the time are, like, Holtby's left out to dry. But he also has let in some pretty weak ones, too. So at the moment, I'm going to say it's goaltending.
Yeah, and just kind of while we're on topic with Washington, do you guys think Ovi can hit 40 goals this year?
He's got 10 goals in 12 games. So I don't see why he can't.
Yeah, he'd pick it up. Doesn't he traditionally pick it up a little bit too in the second half?
Yeah, normally he's, besides last year where he had 7 goals in the first 2 games, normally he's, while everyone else takes off the beginning of the season, he just stays kind of steady.
He's just always there.
Yeah.
But the thing with Ovi, though, like he can disappear for a couple games and all of a sudden he'll have like 15 goals. And then comes back with
15, yeah.
He'll score 4 goals in 1 game.
Against Ottawa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Montreal.
Yeah. Montreal. Paging Philip Zadina, where are you? Oh, wait.
Nobody cares.
No one cares. okay, so our third and last topic.
For worst of the week.
Yeah, worst of the week. Let's just go with this. We'll go with Josh Hosang, who made probably a career suicide decision. But with Josh Hosang, it goes beyond his hockey skills. It just goes to his poor attitude. He should have been a top 15.
He was projected to be top 10, but it just he dropped, 28th,
yeah.
Yeah, just his attitude was terrible, and he proved it from the start of training camp the first year, showing up late.
Yeah, so what do you guys think of his comments? Do you think that Islanders should maybe trade him, or should they just bury him and ruin his career?
If I was the Islanders, I would trade him, because he does have value, he does have a lot of skill, he just needs to go to a team where someone's going to tell him to shut up. And obviously that hasn't been on the Islanders. And let's face it, after when you insult Lou, you're not anywhere near the call.
Is he kind of like an early Evander Kane, would you say?
I'm going to say he's Well, if you see the Evander Kane scandal lately, I'm going to say it's the same Evander Kane.
Oh, hold on. Whoa, what's going on with this? I never heard this. Yeah, this just in.
Okay, so the Evander Kane scandal right now is he knocked up a girl 1 year, and she got an abortion. He came back and knocked her up the next year. She got another abortion. He knocked her up again and paid, and she said she wasn't going to get one, but he paid her $3 million, or he said he was going to pay her $3 million to get rid of it the third time. She did, and he didn't pay him. So she's suing him right now.
For like $6 million, I think.
Wow. Some TMZ material. Yeah.
But this is not the first time that someone's accused him of something that's also gone away.
Like that's where that $3 million went.
No, but he had... it wasn't quite the same as Patrick Kane's as far as media attention and everything, but shortly after that whole Patrick Kane thing, Evander Kane had a very similar one in Buffalo.
What, did he beat up a taxi driver also?
No. No, it was a sexual assault thing, but it just completely vanished.
Oh, so. Because normally when you hear about Buffalo, it's either how bad the Bills suck or someone beat up a taxi driver or in Otto's case, they try to make him do some unexpected, excusable comments towards a taxi driver. But I don't know. Anyways, back to Jose. This guy is killing his own career with his mouth.
Yep.
Like, he's a talented player. He does well for himself. Like, when he's in the NHL, he at least put up 12 points in like the 30 games he played.
The first year he got called up, it looked like he was going to be staying. So I think he had 4 points in his first 6 games or something. And he looked great. I think he was playing with Tavares, and just all of a sudden, I guess his attitude put him back down.
Well, and that'll do it. I think hockey, more than a lot of other sports, attitude and presentation and everything play a huge part. In certain sports, you can maybe get away with saying something like this, but not in hockey. It just doesn't operate that way.
No, and the Islanders don't need that right now either. They're in first place. Why would they need to bring up someone who will just run his mouth?
You don't want any distractions right now.
Like, I've heard trade rumors that maybe Edmonton could pick him up or something like that, but...
I think he would definitely be a good fit there. He's got the speed and skill that he could maybe play with with McDavid, but I think they're another team that they can't they've had so much cancer in their team that I don't think they can afford cancer in the locker room.
Do you think they have the people that could rein him in, or do you think it might be better with a team just like Chicago, where they have Taves
that's veteran presence? That's where I was thinking he probably should go, because Taves and Kane will just be like, we're better than you.
Well, and shut your mouth. They have a system...
Quinn won't put up with it either.
Duncan Keith, Jonathan Taves, and Patrick Kane take all the new players out for dinner before they come to the team and completely lay out exactly how everything operates, the type of effort that's required, and then they kind of go from there.
And Quenville will keep him in check too, but...
Yeah, that might be a great spot for him, though.
Could be.
But who should Chicago give for potential... And just to kind of go back to your comment, I don't think Edmonton's ever had cancer in their room. I think it's more of just...
I said the entire team, like, they can't win. It's been a cancer that they're trying to win. I said that they don't need cancer in the room now.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, but going back to Chicago now, who could they trade for Hosang, though? Like, who would...
I think at this point, it would just need to be a draft pick. Yeah, I don't think they want someone back for him, because they probably just want to get rid of him.
Well, just recoup a pick.
Yeah. With Josh Hosang, like, what kind of pick would you get? Like, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh? Like, a Filatov kind of pick?
He's only 22? I'd say a second-round pick still.
You could make it conditional. Yeah, you could do a conditional, like do a third, and then given games played, re-signing, make it a second or something like that.
Yeah, that would be ideal. It's not like he's done enough to be worth a first, but
no.
He was a high enough draft pick, and he still has enough skill that I don't think he's worth anything lower than...
I think, to be honest, my opinion is I think he's worth a fourth round pick to a fifth round, just because with hockey, it sounds weird, but it all goes to like your name, your brand.
And he's making a name for himself, though.
Yeah, and it's a terrible brand. Yeah. And no one wants that on the team. I have to give it to San Jose. They brought on Evander Kane, who is a strong personality. They brought on Erik Karlsson, who's a strong personality. They have Brent Burns, who's already a strong personality. And they have Joe Thornton, who... And
Tom's Hurdle.
Yeah. Like, they have a very strong personality team, but I just don't think that a team... can really take on a Josh Hosang if you know he's just going to sit there and think he's the best player of all time. is right off the bat, he started controversy by picking Mary Lemieux's number or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, Lou, he had Mary Lemieux's number until this year when Lou was told him, no, you're changing that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, even if you mean it out of respect, it's still...
And I don't think he was 66 in the minors, was he?
Yeah, then that's even worse.
Yeah, I think he just took it as soon as he got to the NHL.
Yeah, probably requested 99.
Yeah, so we'll see how it happens with Josh Hosang.
But it's not like Lemieux's number's retired. Like, it's, I guess it's like a thing where you just don't take it, but it's not retired, so it's up for grabs.
Yeah, I feel like that's one, though, that might as well be retired because no one's going to take it.
Yeah. Well, okay, let me just ask you this. What if Connor McDavid chose 66?
I don't think he would.
Just...
If he took it, then I don't think anyone actually would say anything, because who knows, McDavid might be better than Lemieux in the end.
I still think it would ruffle feathers around the league.
You think so?
Yeah.
Ah, probably.
Hockey is a huge respect game, and that...
It's a great thing about our sport.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the worst of the week. So we'll just kind of briefly talk on this, because we're getting close to the closing time of the podcast. We'll do Austin Matthews. He's currently out for a month. Off just like a regular kind of hit. It just got him in the wrong place.
It got him, he got it twice in a row in a game, and I can't remember who got him the first time, but you could tell he was injured, but then Trouba got him, and that was the end of it.
So with Austin Matthews, is health a concern with him, would you say? Over the past two seasons, he's missed close to 3 or 4 months of hockey. So let's just look at him first, and we'll look at the team in general. So would you consider Austin Matthews at this point in his career very early, a health risk for being healthy or not?
If it was the same injury all the time, I would say it'd be terrible, but I think it's different injuries every single time. So it's not all that bad. And the amount of points he puts up in the games he's there, I wouldn't be too worried. I'll take Austin Matthews at 65 to 70 games a year than someone else at 82.
I think it's too early for it. If it was repetitive, the exact same things, just like Sniper was saying, but like, I mean, going forward, well, that would be bad.
Yeah, broken fingers.
Gallagher keeps blocking shots with his hands for some reason. But I mean, if it continues year after year after year after year, and he becomes kind of like a Marty Havlat type of thing, then, you know, different story at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's look into the team in general. So what does this do for the Toronto Maple Leafs? It eliminates their second line. So Nazem Kadri, I think, has been bumped up, isn't it?
Oh, that sounds terrible. You put Kadri to your second line, I feel so bad. I think it's going to do absolutely nothing to the team. They have so much skill in on that team, and with forwards, they might lower their goals by 0.1 for the time he's out.
But does this help with the William Nylander contract, or do you think they're just going to ride that out to the end?
It's tough. December 1st is a month away, so it could help out a little bit. If they start losing, if they were losing this entire time he was out, I would say 100% it's going to help. It's in Nylander's favor, but they just shellacked the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-0 last night, so I don't think they're having any issues.
Do you think the Hurricanes are actually putting in a serious bid for Nylander?
If so, that would actually be great for the Leafs, because they have Justin Falk, who's a right-handed defenseman. Is Slavin a right-handed defenseman? But either one of those
Slavin's
two guys,
good too.
Yeah, both those guys, that's what Toronto needs, is a top two right-handed defenseman.
Why would you, if you're Carolina, sorry, did you say trade or sign? Or
trade.
Offer?
Trade.
Okay, trade, okay. I was going to say that kind of makes more sense. But
yeah, me trade.
It's like,
sure,
if you're going to sign, there's no point, because what's his face, Jack Hughes, is coming up. Carolina's probably not going to make the playoffs.
Carolina's,
they're doing great.
Yeah,
right,
they're looking really good.
Aho,
I mean, will they keep it up?
See, I think I'm on the bandwagon where Carolina has enough skill to do it. It's just their goaltending. So if their goaltending could hold it together, I would actually prefer them to do the Cinema an offer sheet, because, like, I think he's worth a first, second, and third. So I would prefer to give up that than to give up Justin Falk or Slavin if they have the room to sign him.
Well, and their goaltending is going to get a boost because Darling just came back. I mean, he lost last night.
Do you remember how he played last season?
Compared to Ward and Mrazek, though?
How's Mrazek doing this year?
He's a healthy scratch.
Oh, so great.
So they are, like, compared to while he was injured, they are going to see a boost there. So that is going to help them.
Well, let's hope, because I think he was the worst goaltender in the league last year.
Yeah, so Austin Matthews, obviously a big blow to the team, but is it detrimental for the Leafs right now? Probably not. Definitely because, not. Like, yes, they lost James Van Riemsdyk. They lost Tyler Bozak.
Who is the first guy?
Riemsdyk. I know, I slurred on it. But, they had, like you guys said, they have solid depth. They have Mitch Marner, who's doing well.
John Tavares.
John Tavares.
Kapanen's got, I think, almost a goal per game. Yeah. And
John Tavares is a cancer in the locker room, but he's...
This is your thing today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Anyone who gets traded out or signed someone, yeah, is an absolute cancer. Their team's doing much better without him, but cool. Yeah, that's the podcast, boys. It's nice to get our feet back in the water here. We'll make this a weekly thing again. I apologize for going to Vegas. I just want to let you guys know, I did turn 30 cents at the airport into $48.
Yeah, you've told us multiple times.
So I beat Vegas. I won.
You left up. That's one thing none of us did.
No, that's true. None of us did.
Okay, yeah, so that's the podcast. Thanks for listening in the Wheelhouse. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, all social media. We're going to start posting our daily, nightly reviews of the game, so definitely check those out on wheelhousehockey.org.
So glad you know how our website is.
Wheelhouse Hockey, folks. You heard it here.
Wheelhouse. It's the German version.
It's Wheelhouse.
It's Wheelhouse. It's wunderbar. But yeah, do you guys have any closing comments before we go?
Sniper?
Why is everyone looking at me? I said it all on the podcast. All
right.
Okay, but how's your puck off challenge doing?
So that one's actually doing pretty good. There's been a new first place guy every week, so the next update will be coming out on Monday. Thank you, Hockey Coach Vision, for sponsoring that.
There you go. Just for those people that are unsure of what we're talking about, just explain how it kind of works.
So everyone submitted a team, and it's being tracked by goals and assists, and by the end of the season, we'll know our winner, and the winner gets $100.
Is it based off a salary?
Yeah, so everyone had $50 million to submit a team. It was 10 players and a goalie, and yeah.
There you go. That's exciting stuff. All right, in the Wheelhouse, out. Oh.